Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anderson on 3rd and 10, dropping back and firing down the middle pass. Oh, is intercepted by Devin McCourty. Runs it left, 25-30, to the 40, speeding past the 50.
Go,
sprinting
baby.
To the 40, a blocker in front at the 20, 15-10, goodbye!
Oh.
Pick 6, Devin McCourty! Touchdown, Patriots!
Start the buses, baby, let's get out of here!
Final 30 seconds, victory formation, and the snap is handled by the Patriots' backup quarterback, Brian Hoyer. Now will slap hands with his teammates and their AFC East counterparts from Buffalo. Bills put up a fight defensively much of the night, but eventually the Patriots pull away to a 25-6 win.
And here we go, Felger and Maz, on a Tuesday morning. Here's what we're doing today, folks. We're going back and forth between Patriots and Red Sox all day long. We'll do a little on last night's game, just a little, because it really doesn't deserve that much conversation. We'll do a lot on the trade deadline, which is now an hour and 56 minutes away. Some moves have already been made across the NFL. Golden Tate is gone to Philadelphia. Demaryius Thomas is apparently gone to Houston. Houston, thank you. So we will update you as things come in. All right, we'll see what the Patriots do. We'll see what happens across the league. To help us with the Patriots is Greg Bedard in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hi, Greg.
What's up, guys?
Okay, Maz, of course, has your Red Sox thoughts. We're going to go back and forth with both. I want to do both in this segment, so we get right to it, Greg. Give me your thoughts on where the Patriots stand at the trade deadline, what they might be looking to do at the trade deadline, what should they do at the trade deadline, and if you could, tie in the Josh Gordon nonsense. Is it in any way related, and what the hell happened last night with him being benched, and then, you know, is it possible to be benched and then not be benched?
Okay, I'll start there first on the Gordon thing. I think it is possible to be benched and then not be benched in New England. I haven't had any practice with it myself, but I know when I got here, there were times when I asked about that for other beat writers that have been around, and they're like, "Yeah, yeah, it's happened."
Where there what?
There's been reports, and then Bill does something opposite of the reports.
Just because he's pissed at the report.
Correct.
Or something to do with the report.
Yes. But I think I don't think this has to do with that. I think it has to do with, I think that word leaked out about this player. I think maybe it made Bill rethink things in terms of, you know, the, you know, public embarrassment. And then, you know, so it's an all day long public embarrassment talked about on ESPN for how many hours, because they have the game. And then suddenly you're going to get to the game, and for the whole first quarter, there's going to be a camera transfixed on Josh Gordon pouting on the sideline and all that stuff. That's just not good for this player. I mean, they've done everything possible to make it work for this player, including he only takes, as far as I know, he only takes questions in press conferences, and it's like three questions or four. That's it. So the Patriots have done everything they can to make it work with this player, including, it seems like, bending some of their rules as far as being late, because there were multiple reports, and I heard Zolak say on the broadcast last night that he was told similar things about that there were things going on with Josh Gordon. So that's where I am with Gordon.
Okay, I mean, and if that's the case, that's kind of smart. You got to manage the player.
Yeah, I think
it has
to be related to the deadline too, doesn't it? I mean, because maybe the story comes out and it affects their leverage at the deadline, because teams are going, oh, well, now you're desperate with Gordon. We want a third. We're going to hold firm on a third. Or, you know, on one level or another, they thought they had a deal and then they didn't. They were ready to discipline Gordon, and then all of a sudden the deal went the other way on him. Somehow it's connected. I don't know how.
Deadline thoughts.
I think that they'll do something. I don't think it's going to be major. I could very well be wrong. I don't see a receiver being involved, or at least not. Well, look, Demaryius Thomas and Golden Tate are gone. I mean, those are pretty much the top two names, as far as I'm concerned, as far wide receivers being available. I mean, because and this is connected to what I wrote this morning off of last night's game, and it's a thought that I had coming out of the Bears game offensively. It's just, we're at the midway point of the season, and this offense doesn't know what they're doing. They don't know how to move. Look at their game plan last night, and Patterson's in the backfield. This is not the Patriots' precise machine that we're used to at the midpoint. Brady them starting to roll. I mean, they have no running game, and I don't think that's Sony Michel related. I think that's, they just don't have anybody else.
I don't think they even tried last night.
No, and they didn't try last night. And I think this game was game plan oriented, where they're like, Josh Williams and the other defensive tackle are in there. They have two good edge guys. They have good young inside linebackers. We're gonna get these young linebackers moving sideline to sideline and play action them and things like that and take advantage. There are certain games where they're like, we can't run. I mean, that's why you can't equate how they ran the ball against Kansas City with how they ran the ball last night. It's two completely different opponents. And they just, you know, between Josh Gordon runs half of his routes are good, half of them are bad. He's still there. At least this week they junked the Patterson in pass patterns thing. Because against the Bears, it was a debacle. And so I think he only ran three routes this game. Thank goodness. Gronkowski isn't himself. And, you know, I keep coming back to, this is a team that had like five running backs going into the season. So they thought it was a big deal. Now, whatever.
Okay. So that leads to this question. I heard Zoe say this in the midday, and I've heard others. Pats are right on schedule. Business as usual. Start out slow. They're at the midpoint. They're 6-2, just where they want to be. Feeling good. Here we go. Off and running. Same old Patriots, meaning a good thing. Do you feel that way about this team?
Well, obviously the results are that way.
Do you feel that way about the way they're playing?
No, not even close.
Me neither.
I mean, maybe we might know a little bit more, and we might be able to say that after Green Bay. But you cannot say that after the way that they've been playing. I mean, you know, basically they achieved Xanadu against the Chiefs. Okay, there's been two games this season, and I went through and I crunched the numbers last night, this morning. There have been two games where the Patriots have run more than they passed. The Dolphins game and the Chiefs game. No coincidence, those are the best two games offensively for them.
Sorry. Yep, for them. Got it.
For them this season. Last night, Brady accounted for 80% of the yards. In a game where you only needed the three field goals you got in the first 25 minutes of the game to beat that team. You know, more and more is being put on Tom Brady's plate, and it's just, it's not looking right, and it certainly wasn't looking right defensively against Chicago. Hard to tell last night. We'll have to see against the Packers. We'll know where the defense is.
Okay, 6-2 is 6-2, but how they look, I do not feel the same way as I have in the past. Like, they figured it out, they hit their stride, and now they go on the roll in the second half. I don't feel that way. And I feel there's issues that are on this team that are not Patriot-like, and we will get into all of those with you and Greg Bedard. We're also going to mix in Red Sox all day long. Pats, Red Sox, back and forth. Maz, any follow-up thoughts from yesterday? Any thoughts on the future? We've crunched the numbers. I know you've really looked at the numbers. Maybe hold off on the very specifics of what you've done with your numbers.
Sure.
But just tell me in general, how do you feel about the future of the team and their ability to go now on a multi-championship run?
Well, so look, I love the talent they have. I love the composition of it overall. My concern is financial. How do you keep it together? That's all. I look at it and say, how are you going to sign Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley and all these guys and Sale and Porce? How are you going to do it? So, again, I won't inundate you with the numbers just yet, but they're going to have a hard time keeping it together.
Well, so here's my question. I find this is the more immediate question. Can you afford to go in on guys like Eovaldi and Kelly when you've got a crunch on the core guys? And, you know, these are tricky guys because they were so instrumental for you in winning your championship. Just stick with Kelly and Eovaldi, both free agents. They have such tremendous stuff. But if you've got to pay Nathan Eovaldi $15, $20 million a year, if someone's going to offer him money like a real starter or a top three starter out there, which is what his stuff would command, or Joe Kelly as a premium reliever, which is how he looked in the World Series, $6, $7, $8 million a year. I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, you tell me if that's unrealistic. Can you afford to go and bring those guys back if that means then you don't have the room for Betts and Bogaerts and the rest of those guys?
I mean, so there's going to be a limit on everybody, right? Like, Eovaldi at 20, I say no. Kelly at 8, I might say yes. So, again, it depends
on... That is unbelievable. 2 weeks ago, we don't even want him on the team.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Now you're giving him $8 million a year. Like, see, these
He's making four.
Hard call.
He's making pretty close to four. It is a hard call.
That's a hard call.
But they have... I don't know how many other options they have. That's the problem. You're going to lose Kimbrell. So he's gone. I don't think they're bringing him back.
That I'm okay with.
And at the same time, you know, you got a bunch of guys up at the end of next year that you're going to think about. Salem, Porcello, and Bogarts.
Just get me to next year. Evaldi, Kelly.
I would like to keep Evaldi over Kelly. I don't think it's going to take 20, but I think it's going to take eight digits. I mean, I think you're looking at 10 plus.
I'm bad with math. What does that mean?
10 million per. Somewhere around there, maybe more. And, the other thing is the years. I mean, do you know what Evaldi made this year?
Oh, like $1 or $2 million?
$2 million. $2 million. His salary is going to at least quadruple, right? He's going to get $8 million a year at least from somebody, and I think it's going to go higher.
More. Someone's going to sign him
as
a top three starter. Yeah,
I mean, so 3 years, $30 million. Well, something like that.
A top three starter who could in the postseason be that guy, Andrew Miller and Josh Hader, and be one of those guys.
Correct.
He's going to get paid.
So I'd rather keep Evaldi than Kelly. I'd rather extend a little bit on Evaldi. But then, you know, the problem is that, again, they just got a million guys they got to pay now. They're gonna have some hard choices here.
I think Kelly and Evaldi are real tough ones. And I think on top of it, do you want David Price to opt in or opt out? Do you want David Price? Again, I'll ask you, Boston. Do you want David Price to opt in or opt out?
Greg, you had an opinion on that?
I think I want him to opt in. I mean... He's now over the hump. He's got he's got nothing left holding him back.
Do you go all in on Chris Sale too then? $30 million a year? Something has to give, big boy.
You can't have
No, I'm not going in on Chris Sale. There's something wrong with that shoulder.
So now we're picking David Price over Chris Sale.
Isn't that unbelievable?
David Price over Chris Sale, Murray. Suck it.
No. Price can go. By the way, they just picked up his 2019 option for Sale.
So. Where? Oh, Sale.
For Sale.
Yeah, yes. Sale.
Oh, Sale, yeah.
Let's have our finger on buttons all over the place here, shall we?
We're ready.
Because the David Price thing? The David Price thing, I didn't even realize this.
It's got to come down in the next day, I think.
They have 3 days from the end of the World Series. Price has 3 days from the end of the World Series to opt in or opt out. 3 days.
Tick-tock.
That means by tomorrow, bitches. By tomorrow, and guess who holds the cards?
I hold the cards.
Man. Guess who's got the trump card?
I got the trump card.
Okay, so we're going to know
by... Guess who's going to play it at the parade tomorrow?
We're going to know by tomorrow. So the Red Sox already opted in. There was a team option on Sale. Okay, yeah. We knew that was coming. But the Price one, that news is going to drop any second, I feel.
Oh, my God, as Bedard said that. What if he opts out while he's on the duck boat?
And he drops the mic.
Balls. Balls.
That is awesome. I mean, aren't you almost rooting for that?
Ace of spades, bitches. There you go.
Scrooge and Murray.
See you.
But again, all these guys you got to pay. You'd say they're the Red Sox, money shouldn't be an object, but it is. But it is. They don't want to go into that super tax.
The super tax.
Or whatever the hell. That top level. They don't want to go over it. So, Betts, Bogarts. What if someone wants to pay Bogarts 20? I mean, this is a question for next year. I understand that. But Betts is a $30 million a year player at least. Bogarts, $20 million player at least. Benintendi, if he develops into it, what you think he is, $25, $30 million player. What's Jackie Bradley worth? We can debate that. You love the guy, so you want to pay him tens of millions of dollars. I know you out there, the Jackie Bradley Jr. hippies. You want to pay this guy tens of millions of dollars to keep this guy. Something has to give. You want David Price to opt in or opt out? You can't have them all. Never mind Nathan Evaldi and Joe Kelly. Some fascinating decisions. Evaldi and Kelly in the near term, and in the next day and a half, we'll find out what, you know, the Trump master over there, David Price, is going to do. There's no way he opts out. No one's going to pay him $31 million at 33 years old, is it?
I'll tell you what, it'd be the greatest exit move of all time, though.
Mad respect if he
I got the ace of spades. Here's the finger.
Okay, Patriots, Red Sox, your calls next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Patterson in the lineup as the tailback. Brady will hand it to him. Patterson on the run to the right behind Devlin. Carries to the 40, 35, 30, right sideline, 25. Stepping out of bounds, a first down rush. In fact, marked out at the 22.5 with Micah Hyde over at the boundary for Buffalo.
Hard to believe. Really is. You got your kick returner and tailback, and he just runs a sweep around right end. Shouldn't be doing this.
And no Sony Michel, so they turn to Cordero Patterson, galloping for 22.
So that's how bad of a joke that game is, and how little the Pats put into it. So I don't know how much to ascribe, Greg. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't feel like they're in a great place either. But I think last night the Pats treated that game as a joke.
Preseason game.
We'll do whatever. We'll give it just enough to win the game and get out of here and show nothing. There's no way they're going to beat us with this guy who just came off the satellite golf tour at quarterback. Put Cordell Patterson at running back. It doesn't matter. Just go ahead. They were screwing around last night is what they were doing. All that being said, I don't love where they're at either. Maz, I know you have a thought. Real quick, I just want to mix in phones immediately, though. Tom and Newton. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. So as you know, this weekend the Patriots are playing the Packers. We're getting the long-awaited Tom Brady-Aaron Rodgers matchup. You know, I happen to think the NFL does a good job of schedule, especially the playoff format. But don't you think they need to do something about the fact that it takes 4 whole years just to play a team in the other conference?
Yes.
Or 8 years to play at one particular state? Like, you could go 16 years and only play at one place twice. Don't you think they should address that? Thanks.
Yes. Yes. Bigger picture topic later in the week, but this will be Aaron Rodgers' first start in Foxborough.
Correct. Yeah, it should have been in 2010, but he was hurt.
So, right. So all the fans of New England have never been able to see Brady's rival or peer, whatever you want to call him, in person.
That's unbelievable.
There's something wrong about that.
I agree. Again, the last game was out there. That was the Revis year, if you remember, when he blew the coverage on that play. But they haven't played Green Bay here with Rodgers on the field ever.
Yeah, no. So the way to do it is to wait it with the NFC teams like you do the AFC teams. You play the first and second place teams, or, you know, wherever you finish in your division, you play that team in the commensurate division in the NFC. And so the good teams are going to face each other invariably, and you won't have to wait the 8 years. I thought he was going to say about scheduling Buffalo and New England on a Monday Night Football. How'd you feel about Buffalo last night,
Matt? Oh, my God, please. Maybe the worst NFL team I've ever seen, at least offensively. Like, defensively, the Bills actually aren't bad. I think they get some players there. There's something to like. Offensively, that was Waltham High with the wing tee. That was awful. That was absolutely pathetic.
Can I give you
Have
my
you ever seen a worse offense than that?
No, can I give you my appraisal of that game last night that I had to do the post game?
Yeah. Ugh. 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 Oh, my God. What a waste of everybody's time. I mean, glad they won, but my God. What are we doing here?
That's a statement on your division. That's the AFC East, and there's no other division like it. So I don't want to hear the sensitive Patriots fans about, look at the numbers. No. There is no other division of football that has gone 20 years without a single good quarterback other than yours. That has not existed in the history of the sport. I am sorry. 20 years, and there's not been another good quarterback. There hasn't been a halfway decent coach.
How many stupid-ass trick plays did they try to run? Double reverse flea flick or wildcat. How many stupid-ass trick plays?
This Buffalo team was on the come. New coach. They made the playoffs last year. They draft a quarterback in the top 10. This is supposed to be the team that has a clue and is coming. They're back to being the worst team in the league.
I'm telling you, Waltham High runs a more complex offense than the Bills ran last night.
And their offensive line was brutal, too.
Oh, boy, they suck.
The whole thing.
Wow.
Give me a break. George in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. Go, George.
Yeah, I was thinking about signing Eovaldi and Kelly. You can use Hanley's money for that. So he comes off the books, right?
Sure, there's guys that come off the books. Pomerantz comes off the books. Yep. Hanley comes off the books. Kimbrel comes off the books.
Correct.
Who else?
Those are the big ones.
Okay.
Yeah, the problem is you're going to also have to pay raises to a lot of your arbitration guys. Betts, Bogarts, Bradley, they get a ton of arbitration guys again. So just to keep those guys is going to cost you $30 million in some case, you know, total. Betts is going to double. Betts is going to go to $20 million bucks. They got him marked for like 19 from 10.5. That's low. He's going into the 20s. Mark my words. He'll go in high on that, and he'll win because he's going to be the freaking MVP of the league. They're going to have to back
the
up.
The highest arbitration award ever?
It's going to be up there. I think Bryce Harper has it at the moment. I have to look. Someone said it recently, like one of those guys. But Betts is going to get a crap load of money. Crap load.
The question is, how much and how far are you willing to go with your quote-unquote role guys that flashed? Eovaldi, Kelly, is Brazier up, Steve Pierce, these guys. And it's really tricky. A lot of teams get duped into, and a lot of fans get duped into, well, you can't lose that guy. Look at what he just did. When the fact of the matter is, every championship team has a Steve Pierce. Maybe not MVP, but some guy from out of the woodwork that comes out from the role ranks and has a big series and is a central part to the series. And then he goes somewhere else, and the next time you win a championship, it's someone else in the Steve Pierce role. or the Joe Kelly role or the Nathan Eovaldi role. When you overpay those guys, you become Peter Chiarelli's Bruins. You start to think that Chris Kelly can actually play and is actually an instrumental part of the team when he was really just a good role player that flashed one year when you won. You know what I mean? So this is where the Red Sox have to be careful.
Yeah, they do totally. And look, I like Pierce too. If you were to ask me to rank them, you know, Kelly, Eovaldi, Pierce, to me, those are the big ones. Like, I'd put Kelly probably last because you know what? You can find a reliever who throws 95 and walks people.
Here's Bud in Rhode Island with the Patriots thought for Greg. Go ahead, Bud.
Hey, why the hell do they still have Edelman returning punt?
Okay, thank you for the call, Bud. The answer?
I have no idea. This is something that I can't figure out. They don't have anybody else, I guess, but well, no, still,
Kenyon,
I don't...
Kenyon Barner, I thought he was a return guy. Why don't they use him?
Bedard's distraught today.
Well, no, so people have said that we didn't learn anything about the Patriots last night. We did learn. They hate Kenyon Barner.
And Philip Dorsett.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
What?
I forgot he was
even on the
team. Milk
carton guy?
And they love Josh Gordon because he can blow off team meetings and be late and they're still going to play.
And almost run into Julian Edelman over the middle on a pass pattern on third down.
So, they're playing Cordell Patterson at running back instead of the running back. So what does that say about the running back? Like, good Lord. But on punt returns, you don't want Edelman there because of injury? Or,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's one hit away. We all know how valuable it is. I mean, basically the offense right now, as it's constituted, is Brady, White, and Edelman. That's it. Those are the only things that you can rely on and that, you know, Brady can rely on. And I hate chancing Julian Edelman's health with him returning punts. Now, I would be in favor of, you know, playing it situationally. Okay, we might need a return here, or this is a good spot for Jules. Let's pop him out there. But other than that, I just want somebody that catches the ball and get Tom Brady the ball and let's start the drive.
So two things. You say guys that don't look right. You know, Gronkowski doesn't look right.
No.
The Brady to Edelman thing isn't back full steam. I mean, where's,
you know, last night was better though.
A little. How many grabs did he have?
10.
Edelman had 10 catches?
Nine.
He had nine.
He was over 100 yards.
Sorry, James White had 10. Edelman had 9 last night. Ten targets, 9 catches.
Oh, then I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
And both of them had, I think, 4 of the 5 third down conversions. Come on.
I mean, okay. It was those two guys really night.
They were.
So never mind. Maybe I just wasn't paying close attention. No shame in that. That pig of a game. But either way, where I still know where they're not right are the special teams penalties. So they got one where they didn't line up right on the kickoff.
Yep.
And then they got another one where Edelman called for the fair catch and blocked the guy, which is a foul. And it's like, oh, you're usually dialed in on that stuff. Like, it's usually the other guys.
And how are the coverage teams again?
But outside of that, I'm not talking about procedural things, like rules. Since when are you the team that doesn't know the rules?
And the other thing about, I mean, if Zoe's saying like, you know, oh, yeah, they're right in time and what they do every season. They can't even line up on offense a lot of the time. And then last night, I don't know why the refs weren't throwing the flags, but the Patriots weren't set a half a dozen times.
Yeah, I noticed that. That I did notice.
I mean, this is not a precision offense yet. I'm not saying they're not going to get there. I think they will. They always do. But this is definitely behind schedule for them.
All right, we will continue with your thoughts on the Patriots, mostly where they stand at the deadline. Tick-tock, tick-tock, T-minus 1 hour and 29 minutes until the trade deadline. Receivers have gone off the board. Tate is gone. Tate has gone to Philadelphia. Demaryius Thomas has gone to Houston. You reportedly were in. Well, you know what? I'll save those details here for the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for 3 up.
He throws it left. Borgnacki makes the catch over 2 defenders.
And 3 down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3 up.
Launch downfield. Throw into the end zone. With Smith there. Rowe as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
3 down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Maz.
Okay, this game wasn't worth much, so we're going to change the format here just a little bit. 3 up, 3 down. We'll get 3 on each, but we're just going to give them at once. And then give a quick thought and then get on with our lives. Because last night, what a dog food, dog crap product that was.
Brought to you by Alpo.
Oh, Feh. Greg, your three stars for the Patriots.
Three stars for the Patriots were...
He's not ready.
That's the down. No, I am.
Full 7 minute
Trey
break.
Flowers, Kyle Van Noy, and then I split White and Edelman because they're basically the same player.
Okay, Peter King, baseball writers, just split your vote. I'm sorry, who was it again?
It was Trey Flowers.
He was dominant.
He was awesome.
Dominant.
I mean, it's good to see he's finally back to, he hasn't been the same since the Jacksonville game when he got the concussion. He hasn't been the same guy. Last night was the full Trey Flowers, and it's awesome. And now that they have Flowers on one side and Van Noy, basically he's now an end. I don't even classify him as a linebacker. You know, last night maybe I will, but in other games he's an end. They have something going there with those two guys.
Okay, Flowers, Van Noy, and then split between White, Edelman. Go ahead, Maz, your three stars.
Okay, hold on, I gotta look for it.
I didn't even do that this time.
It's hold on, I gotta lay here.
Stay relevant.
Hold on.
Flowers, White, Edelman. Flowers, White, Edelman were my choices. I thought about Van Noy, too. Flowers was awesome. He was the best player on the field last night, I thought. And White and Edelman, again, caught 19 of the 23 targets between the two of them.
I know the Bills suck and are stupid, but it does still just amaze you that teams leave White uncovered.
Yes.
Like, guys, he's going to check down. He's going to throw it. You don't cover him. He's going to throw. And like 10 catches later, it's like, oh, we have to put someone on him?
Right, Brady, it's like
Brady will check down to 28. Oh, really? They didn't know that.
Oh, here comes James White in motion from wide receiver into the backfield. Oh, they're seeing if a linebacker's on him one on one. Oh, he is. Okay, wide open every time.
Exactly. All right, you're three down.
Adrian Waddle gave up five pressures. Just got whipped in that game. The offensive line. In general, I didn't think they were good enough in the running game or the pass. I thought Brady was under pressure and got hit way too much last night.
Harsh.
And then my other three down were the punters on both teams, which were both in camp with the Patriots this summer. They were both bad.
I went with the whole O-line first. They sucked last night, I thought. Number two, Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't care if you're a wide receiver or a running back. You still blow. Other than the 122-yard run.
You're going to get in trouble.
Nine carries for 16 yards.
He just blows. He doesn't suck and blow.
Other than the 22-yard run.
He might suck and blow.
And third, I went with Brady. I didn't think Brady was good last night.
Did you read my column this morning?
No, I didn't. Give it to us.
Well, I wrote the whole column on the lead is... You'll like this, Mass.
You have to look it up. Just can't recreate it. You wrote it.
The lead was, I can already hear it now. Tom Brady wasn't any good against the Bears. Tom Brady wasn't any better in Monday night's 25-6 win over the Bills. Maybe time is starting to catch up with Brady.
Ooh.
Just stop.
He's declining.
Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that second line. Just stop.
Just stop, please.
Okay,
Maz,
but he wasn't
stop.
Good. He wasn't good
okay,
last night.
That's not his fault.
Hold on.
He wasn't good last night.
Maz didn't say he's falling off a cliff or time has caught up.
He's getting there.
You can't blame someone for something he hasn't said.
Yeah, I can.
No, you're making
Mr. Suck and Blow over there.
Maz didn't say that, and I'm not saying that. I'm not Max.
Yeah, you are. You're going there too.
I'm not Max Kellerman. But I don't know. Has he gotten better this year? I don't know. I feel like he's taking a little step back. Last night, this is what I saw. Him look at the rush. I almost never see him look at the rush. And you can say, yeah, it starts up front.
He's been doing that at times this whole year.
Okay.
Because...
So they're getting to him. I mean, I get it. It does start with the line. But usually, when he's, you know, all-time Brady and at the top, he sees it. Well, he sees it without looking at it, right? He feels it. And he flushes out. And he moves up. And does, I feel like now he's sort of watching it. And that's... I don't know. I haven't seen that in the past.
You're not wrong to say that. Because he is reacting to pressure sort of like 2010 Jets game.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Yes. But this is because the Patriots and Bill have put him into this position. They start the year with five different running backs. Jeremy Hill goes down. Do they replace him? No. Rex Burkhead goes down. Do they replace him? No. Now he's out there with Sony Michel goes down. Do they replace him? No. They have Kenyon Barner, who they don't even trust enough.
Obviously.
And they put a wide receiver in the backfield. James White is James White. Then you have a receiver in Edelman who's coming off an ACL and suspension, so maybe it's not quite right. And Brady hasn't had the practice time. You got Josh Gordon, who doesn't know where he's going half the time. You have Cordarrelle Patterson, who doesn't know where he's going 75% of the time. And then you have Rob Gronkowski, who's not getting off the line like he used to. So none of it looks correct to Brady when he looks down the field. So I don't blame him for looking at the rush and not being precise, because right now the whole passing offense is not precise.
So I'd like to not assess blame and just say he's looking at the rush and he's not as precise as he's been.
And it's not his fault.
I think Tom Brady should
be given a medal for what he's had to go through this season.
Robin Williams and Matt Damon, not your fault, Tommy. Not your fault.
I don't know. If he wants a hug, I would give him one.
At least they had a full offseason and a great training camp to get the... Oh, no, that's right. They blew most of it off.
I thought he threw three or four balls last night that could have been picked. There was one to Gronk early in the game.
How many balls did he almost have picked?
I will say...
And he did. He had one on the 2-point. That doesn't even count.
I will say there have been times, and I think even Zoe has talked about it during the game in the past couple weeks, where he has had times where his feet are pointing...
Right.
In the opposite direction than where he's throwing the ball, and then he almost threw a pick that way that last night. So those plays, yes, you can put blame on Brady for those, and they're not right. But just in general, all of it is unsettled. None of it looks right. This is a highly precise passing offense, and it's just far from that at this point.
I'm keeping him in my three down.
Fair enough. He's the least of their problems. I mean, again, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. He's not a problem. He's the solution. He ain't the problem. But if he has to be at peak to overcome all their bull crap, I don't know if he is. That's my point. Long commercial-free segment is next. Red Sox, Patriots on the board with Greg Bedard, T-minus 114 until the NFL trade deadline. Still no moves for the Patriots.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Mike Felger,
loser.
Tony Mann,
fucking pop it.
Jim Murray,
got the sunglasses.
And those other dopes.
It's time to spin the wheel of doubting jerks.
All season long, the world champion Red Sox were mercilessly mocked by local media members. And now, Red Sox fans get to spin the wheel to decide who gets punched. And today's doubting jerk is...
All of you, you f***ing losers.
That was coming. That was coming, Murray.
Yeah, I'm firm but fair. You know, I thought I would, you know, appease those that have been emailing and tweeting incessantly. Yeah, where's your wheel of gutless bums now, Murray? Yes, it's been broken for a month. I get it.
I understand the narrative. I deserve it.
I don't feel like I totally deserve it. Like, all season long, you were the asterisk and they can't do this. And I said to you from the beginning, they're going to be right in it to the end. I think I had the Astros in seven. So, like, did I think they'd get there and do it? I guess not. But I never, like, totally dismissed him like you two did, but I've been lumped in with you.
I didn't totally dismiss him. What are you talking about?
You guys were very dismissive.
Oh, God, please.
I think it's only fair that finally you get blamed for an opinion that somebody else has.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, here we go. We got Wally the Green Monster holding the show today, hosting the show today, no, for crying out loud.
I was wrong about all the individual stuff. I didn't like J.D. Martinez. I didn't like the rookie manager. Blah, blah. I was wrong about all that stuff.
Thank you.
By the way, David Price was totally allowed to do what he did the other night. But I just want to know, how many times do you think he practiced that speech?
Oh, my God, what a
especially
line.
When he scanned the media crowd after saying, where is everybody? I want more than 10 people here because I want to shove it in all your faces. But then his final line, he scans. You played it. He scans from one side to the other, looking at the whole room.
So you were there?
I was not there. I was in the locker room at the time or on the field, something. But I didn't even know Price went to the podium. I mean, it's just mass chaos. That whole scene, Dodger Stadium, post game, the media, what a circus. It was, and after, so they finally let us into the
just
visitor's
the
locker room.
Give me the price.
And stuff. It's like the size of your closet. And at one point, you couldn't move. And at one point,
that's a tough
Sale is
for
yelling
you,
yeah. for people like, get the F out.
Okay, on Price. I don't want to hear your media story.
Well, I was going to...
You said Price scanned the room.
Yeah, but so Price scans the room and talks to the media. Like, he had to practice that in front of the mirror. Like,
oh, such a great
three
line.
Times,
oh, so
five
good.
Times.
That's
the
his
night
Travis Bickle and Taxi Driver moment.
It was so
you
good.
You talking to me?
I hold all the cards now.
I hold them.
And that feels so good. So,
That feels so good. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card. You guys have had it for a long time. You've played that card extremely well, but you don't have it anymore. None of you do, and that feels really good.
Oh, so good.
Rehearsed, boom. Executed perfectly. Bravo.
The only way it was better is if he actually did names. You know, you played it well. Buck, Shaughnessy, Silverman.
Murray,
you weasel.
I hold the cards now. You talking to me? I hold the cards now. I hold the cards now. You got it right, David? I hold the cards now. I hold the cards now. I have the trump card. There it is. I have the trump card now, and it feels so good.
Taxi drivers are looking at me.
Jeez. Where's everybody at?
That's sorry, I ain't coming here for 10 people.
That was great. That's when he first sat down at the presser. Here's a question. Do you want him to opt in, Boston? Again, I'm asking Boston. Not us. I think it's best for the team if he opts out, frankly. But it's close, man. If he's crossed the threshold and he's this guy now, would you want him over Sale? Because Sale's going to want $30 million a year. Price is at $31 million a year. He's 33 years old. Sale's 29. I don't know if you can afford to pay Betts, all those guys, and have two $30 million a year pitchers. You can only have one. Do you want Sale or Price? Do you want Price? Price has a day and a half to opt out of his contract. He has to do it within 3 days from the end of the World Series. So I guess that's until tomorrow night. He's got a day and a half left for him to opt in or opt out. After all of this, what do you want, Boston? Jimmy, can we do a Twitter poll?
Oh, I love that.
Yes, we can.
Okay, very simple. On the Felger and Maz Twitter page, do you want David Price to opt in or out? In or out?
I'll tell you what.
Has he won you over? Do you think he's worth it? If it means that you can't re-sign Chris Sale, do you want David Price? We're going to find this out in a day and a half.
It's a tougher call than you ever would have guessed. I mean, the Sale shoulder thing is real. And, you know, he's not exactly the most durable guy in the world. The one thing you can say for Price is that, hell, he just pitched in the World Series on 3 days of rest and did the same thing in the LCS.
If Nathan Eovaldi cost you 4 times 15, let's just put that at the threshold. 4 times 15. If Nathan Eovaldi cost you 4 times 15, do you do it?
No.
If Joe Kelly cost you 3 times 8, do you do it?
3 times 8 I would do. 4 times 15 I wouldn't.
These are tough calls. A guy who has opted in already, which I think hurts him, is Nunez. For all of the good things he's done, I'm done with him, you know, tripping all over himself.
Like, short change, though. It's only $4 million.
Freaking Naked Gun, O.J. Simpson.
He's a great locker room and utility guy.
I'm sick of watching him flop all over the place. Like,
he really only did that in that one game.
I know.
I want to party with Nunez.
But either way, you start overspending on these guys, you become the Bruins, and you can't afford your good players. This is the trick. These role players are so important, and they were so important to you, but they're just role guys. And the next time you're in the World Series, there's going to be a new guy that's Nathan Eovaldi. There's going to be a new Joe Kelly. There's going to be a new Steve Pierce. And you don't pay that guy either, because the next time you're there, there's going to be even a third Steve Pierce and a third. That's what happens when you go to championships. Guys come out of the woodwork and give you performances you weren't expecting. But those guys are – that should be a revolving door. You don't re-up Steve Pierce because he won you the World Series MVP.
No, there'll be another guy like Pierce available next year, a righty who hits left-handed pitching.
And then there'll be someone that just totally comes out of the woodwork that you weren't even expecting, and that's inherent to championship teams. Championship teams get in trouble when they start overspending on those guys. Do you want David Price in or out? Pete in Rockland, what do you think?
Hey, guys, I'll make it quick. I think he's going to opt in. I think Cora might be a factor in that. I know you guys might say that's crazy. But the other thing, I wish that Price could be a showman and he made up like some special cards that just said opting in, opting out, and just throw them off the boat to people.
Okay. I mean, he would essentially be opting out off the duck boat. He'd be quitting off the duck boat. He'd be saying, how do you like me now? How's it taste? I'm out. Which would be, I would have such respect for him. He's 33 years old. He has 4 years left at $31 million per, meaning you get him in his age, and I'm not even sure if it's the age 34. When does he turn 34?
Good question.
But,
I don't know.
But you're going to have him at 33, 34, 35, and 36 years old. Now, from what you've seen and how he pitched this year with diminished velocity and on 2 days, 3 days, do you believe now he can live at you know, 91 miles an hour fastball. Like that, can he live with diminished velocity? You're shaking your head, dude.
No way.
No way?
No. He needs his stuff, and I just don't. I trust Bryce's weirdo elbow that he talked about the other night. I told you the truth.
What did he call it again? The special elbow?
Unique elbow.
Unique elbow.
I believe in the unique elbow.
Oh, you guys
doubted
more
than
me.
Sales shoulder.
You when laughed at Doc me.
David Andrews said I had a unique elbow, and you all laughed and mocked me. Suck it.
So, well, when does he turn 34, Anthony?
I have not gotten to that yet.
Okay, either way, what do you want, Boston? Now, when we put up, this is sort of the art of polling.
It's, not until next August.
It's amazing. In August?
Yeah, next August.
So I guess it's his age 33 season. You'll have him for the age 33, 34, 35, 36 season. He'll be 37 when he's all said and done, making $31 million a year. Do you want that on your team? Because if he opts in, that's it. You're stuck with it. Unless you can somehow trade him. But by that point, he'll have 5-10 rights and all of that. So, you know, that's pretty much it. He opts in, that's it. He's done. Do you want that or not? And when we send out these polls, usually the first sample that comes in, it sort of holds. It's sort of a very indicative of modern polling. Like, you poll 1% of the populace, that for some reason, that holds up.
First 632 votes are in.
Okay, give it to me.
56% want an opt-in, 44% want an opt-out.
So most people want him to stay.
Yeah, 56 want him in. 56 want him in.
I'd let him go. The bottom line is, if you could choose today, would you sign him for 4 years and 127? Think of it that way. Starting today, it's his choice.
Yeah, no, I understand. Saying,
yeah.
No.
My answer to that is no.
No. No. And I have a whole bigger thought about the nature of the way these rosters are built now. It's like these great staffs. LA had a great starting staff. I'm sorry, they do. I mean, I can say a lot of bad things about that Dodgers team. Their starting staff was really good. The Houston Astros starting staff was really good. Cleveland had a really nice starting staff. Those teams weren't good enough. My team, the Brewers, had no starting staff. They had one starter. One legit starter, and he's basically a three, Chassin. Otherwise, they had no staff.
What about the Red Sox?
And the Brewers got to game 7 of the NLCS. So I sort of look at this and say, you can build your pitching staff differently now.
Sure you can. Oh, yeah, no, you can definitely build it differently, but...
And the Red Sox were somewhere in the middle. But they won their championship by going all over the place. Their starters in the bullpen. You know, they did the modern thing. They didn't have the classic traditional pitching staff. Starting staff anyway. I mean, it's better than like the Brewers or some of those other teams, but the way it's being done now, do you need that $30 million? You need Clayton Kershaw?
Probably not.
Do you need Dallas Keuchel? Do you need Justin Verlander? Do you need, why am I blank on the guy in Cleveland? Kluber?
Kluber, like, Corey Kluber.
Do you need these guys?
I think you need somebody to win two starts in a series like Price just did.
You need
one guy to do that.
You do need one horse. I mean, at least. You know, years ago, it used to be two or three. I mean, I still think you need a horse. The problem that the Red Sox are going to face with their pitching staff, just quickly, is they don't have any young guys coming. That's a problem. I mean, it's one thing if you've got young guys coming. You say, okay, we let Price go, or you know, not that, you know, they let Sale go or whatever, and then they fill it in with minor leaguers, and in a year or two, they're right back where they want to be. They don't have that.
You want Price, Boston? I love asking that question. I just want to know what you think. Because we all wanted him gone 3 weeks ago, gone. After that Yankees start, we put out that poll. It's 90-10. Get rid of him.
Wow, really?
I mean, no. I just made that up. But I mean, what do you think it would have been? It would have been
sure.
9 out of 10 people say, yes. See you later. Now, 56-44, you want him back. Interesting. Wow. You guys are easy. So we have that on the board. We have some Patriots with Greg on the board. I want to hit on one quick thing, and then I'll go back to the phones, and that is the ratings. We're down. Locally, nationally, for the World Series. Why? I want your theories on it. First, the very latest on the Patriots and the trade deadline with Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.